When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we're talking about all the things that we feel like talking about right now, I guess. I don't know. We didn't really come up with a plan. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. If that opening didn't get you psyched for the podcast you're about to hear, here's the thing is I did schedule some talking points for this. We're going to take the podcast in a completely different direction than we've ever taken it before. That's not true. Hi, everybody. I'm Travis.
I feel like you're the worst carnival barker in the history of carnival barking.
Everybody, come on down to see the thing. It might be okay. You don't know.
No, but you weren't even, there's not even that much enthusiasm. You're like, hey, everybody. Hey, you want to see something? That's fine if you don't. it's cool.
And then, I just continue sweeping up the trash.
Yeah.
They're like, I get kicked out of the carnival because I don't actually work there. I just approach families and go, hey, you interested in seeing something?
And Jimbo, the carny master, I don't know what they call him, comes up to you like, hey, Travis.
We've told you 3 times to leave. You really need to get out of here.
We fired you within the first day. You can't. You ate all the popcorn and you rode the elephant when we told you explicitly not to.
If they didn't want to be ridden, why would they be shaped that way? That's all I'm saying.
Baby Jumbo!
Hi, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. Brandon, good to see you.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast. We're going to have some fun. Hopefully, you do, too. If you want to follow us online, you can. We're at Apathusiast. I'm Jugglemino. He's Barnyard Cruz. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show. Emails, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Follow our Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. And our website is apatheticenthusiasm.com. YouTube, if you want to get video versions of the podcast, you can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thanks to everybody that's subscribed over there. Looking forward to having some more video content here coming up this summer. And then a big, big thank you to all the patrons at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm who support this show, support all of our podcasts, and get access to those pre and post show content that you can only get, you know, behind that paywall. So I hope you're enticed. If you want to see it, go. If you don't, it's fine. I don't know. Just, I don't know. It's a thing. It's there. That's how good I am at selling things.
Hey, Brandon, do you like video? Good.
You like me too. Extra video?
I like video.
It's there if you want it.
Are you selling something? Are you just asking me a question?
Do you like moving pictures? Is that a thing that you like?
I do. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, nice seeing you.
Have you been to YouTube before? YouTube.com? Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
Well,
Brandon,
later.
We are
big gulps.
We are starting approximately 1 hour later than we usually do.
Yeah.
Because as I was walking back to my walk-in closet that doubles as my podcast space.
Sorry, I'm eating Altoids now.
Oh, classic.
I don't want to. I don't because I had
tastes
a,
like
I had
the
a,
tin.
I had a beer. I didn't want to make you uncomfortable.
You told me you were having a martini. Did you lie to me?
Well, no.
Do you think you have some sort of executive immunity?
look, I'm just trying to be open, all right? I'm not trying to flash my rank at you.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, so you went, we were supposed to start recording an hour ago. You're like, no, I'm gonna have a drink with my wife. We're mm-hmm. gonna hang out. Which got me thinking, I should type in a chat GPT some talking prompts, some episode prompts. But one of the and I typed in a prompt. I was like, what are some good podcast topics for like two guys in their 40s that just like talking about stuff? And it was like surviving middle age and all this stuff. And I was like, whoa, 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 ChatGPT.
Whoa.
Make these funny. And I was like, sorry, they're all of those podcasts have already been made. But no, it did provide me some topics.
Okay.
And one of them was like dating in your 40s, which like we're not single, right? But we're married. We're mm-hmm. both married. And yeah. like dating your spouse is like a thing you have to do, right? Like you have to keep the flames burning.
Okay.
So do you find it harder to like, cause we both have married for a considerable amount of time. Do you sure. find it harder to like come up with ideas for like things to do? Or do you prefer to just like do the things that you know you both enjoy and like, or do you feel pressure to like do new things? Or are you just like, eh, like let's do the thing we enjoy doing for the last 30 years or whatever.
Okay. And let's see how this conversation will go. Chelsea's not listening, is she?
Actually, she's right here.
No, why is she in Oklahoma with you? It's okay. I have Sheena right here with me.
She took the Concorde.
No, you know what? I think the thing is, you know, we've you and I have both been married to our significant others, SOs, as they say yeah. nowadays. For
I think
for,
they say partners nowadays.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's what they say.
Our SOs, our partners
on the social medias, they say partners.
Oh, really? Okay. On yeah,
what Starbucks employees are called,
but not on X, because if you say that on X, you know, you get kicked off. You could,
unless you pay money to be verified, and then yeah. you say whatever you want.
I think the thing is, you know, you fell in love with something about your partner, significant other, wife, spouse, whatever you want to call them.
Mine's a wife.
Okay. Okay. You know, your wife, and like, you know, especially like with kids and the annals of time, things change. And like, there's so much drama that happened in years and years of relationships. And if you stick it out so long, like you grow some strength there.
And then you can just give up and stop trying to impress each other.
That's true. And that's why I haven't shaved my balls and
this segment brought to you by Manscaped. Try the Manscaped 4.0 lawnmower.
You know, that's when we find new things to you know, explore. And so like she started braiding my pubes and like trimming them, and then like she like puts them in a little basket, and then like she like crochets.
I'm
with...
glad you're taking this so serious.
I don't know. It's hard. It's hard because marriage and relationships are.
Do you make time for dating?
Hard.
You go out?
No. But I think we're gonna start more so. As a matter of fact, so Travis already said. Like I made the joke about drinking beer and drinking eating the Altoid. You're like, oh, you said martinis. So that idea actually started because I was like, you know what? I want to skip work, you know, a couple hours early and just say, hey, Chelsea, let's go get some martinis. Let's go to a bar and get a martini. Right. I just wanted to do that. Just to be like, just you and I, here we go. And then we're done.
Yeah.
But the kid's kind of sick, so we didn't want to leave him home alone. He's like we come back and he's like melted or something like that. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that I mean, that usually happens.
That's our bad. Yeah. So it kind of started off like that. Right. And I think what it is what I try to do and what Chelsea tries to do is maintain that, like, get back to the core of the connection, right?
Yeah.
I think every relationship goes through their, especially long ones, they go through the romance, then they go through the best friend phase, and then they go into the mature best friend romance phase where, like, there's nothing wrong with being a best friend. Like, there's a reason I like spending so much time with you is because we are so close and we do laugh and like a lot of the same things. And, you know, getting back to that, spending time with each other and enjoying the same things.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. Like, I think it's weird how you go through phases in a relationship. And like, I have now officially known my wife the majority of my life.
Yeah.
Right. I have actually, I think coming up here pretty soon, been in a romantic relationship with my wife more of my life than the time that I've not been. Right. And so like that is, and I'm hoping I'm only at middle age. Right. So I'm hoping this continues for an extended period, like long beyond that. But like, you're absolutely right. Like we started out just as friends and then we were dating, eventually, you know, married, but like we never stopped being friends. Like we genuinely like each other, like, and want to spend time together. But there is that pressure left, like, well, you get into the monotony of life and raising kids. Like, it's amazing experiences to like have kids and raise them. But there's also like taxes and bills and like,
yeah,
you know, like things you have to drive your kids to. And
the
so
drudgery of modern life.
Yeah. And you can have fun and you can find enjoyment throughout all of those times as well. But like, it's nice to just kind of be like, you know what? Time out. Let's go and, I don't know, do a thing that's just the two of us. We can just focus on the two of us and get rid of those distractions. But like, I feel like sometimes that means dressing up, going out to dinner, you know, getting drinks, going to a show, something like that. A lot of times that's just like, okay, when the kids go to bed, we're going to start that new Netflix series. And we bought the candy that we like, that the kids also like, but we're not going to tell them that we have it.
Right.
And yeah. We're just like, so like the dates could be very much like low key or something like that. And it does it so long as it's like about spending time together.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I work a 4:10 schedule. So every Friday I have off and Chelsea, she goes to school in the spring and the fall, but she doesn't go during the summer. But she usually doesn't have classes on Friday anyway. Well, the kid has school every day. Well, like,
sucker.
So I use Fridays to, you know, go hang out with my dad, work on the car. Also, you know, periodically just, hey, Chelsea, let's go get breakfast, right? Or, you know what? The kid's in school. He doesn't like Mexican food. Let's go get some Mexican food. Or if he's staying at his grandparents' house, like, let's go get some Mexican food. Let's go have some margaritas. And we went a couple weeks back, actually, we went to a Mexican restaurant, just the two of us. And it was like, oh, so nice. We're not getting embarrassed by like, do you have any French fries and onion rings? Like, no, you get
a Mexican restaurant.
You get
don't know French fries.
You get tortillas.
You don't need no papas fritas.
churros, guacamole, and chips and salsa. That's what you get, kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It is one of those things that like I think about, like I look forward to like other seasons in life too, where like you know, like there's more flexibility in our schedules, or there's times where like we can just invest more in like doing that kind of stuff. But like it's you're right. It does. You go through phases, and you know, there's a lot going on. We're busy people, which brings me to my next topic: naps. Brandon,
are we middle aged? We're talking
this
now?
Is the middle age episode. This is the middle age episode. These are topics provided by ChatGPT. Until we get to the next one. And that one, then we just talk about the things that you do on Instagram. Art, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
You're a bit of a napper.
Uh huh.
Yeah. You enjoy a nap, right?
I enjoy myself a nap. Yeah. It helps clear my head.
Do you feel any shame in napping?
No.
Not whatsoever.
None whatsoever. You feel shame though. Is that what I'm gleaning?
Well, like you'll tell me like, oh, I went out to my car and took a nap, like in the parking lot, and I'm like, the heck? Like, I don't feel like I could. Actually, somebody that I work with told me the other day. They're like, yeah, like some days I'll just go to my car, kick on the AC on a lunch break, take a good nap. And I'm like,
it's the best.
I can't imagine doing that. But like,
what I'll say though about nap taking, like lunch break time during work hours, is like when I was in Florida, I would leave my parking lot. I would get away from my actual work parking lot. I would find a separate parking lot that no one else is, that maybe somebody will see me. They'll recognize my car, but they're not going to
come up to it. A neutral location, not tied to your work.
Find some shade, point the car away from the where everybody's walking so they can't really see me as I'm laying back in my car, and just crash, right? And it's so wonderful, right? Because it's just like, put some music on, it's cool. No one's around. I don't have to interact with people. I don't have to talk to anybody. It's just me. Maybe I'll look at my phone for a little bit. Maybe I'll eat some Burger King onion rings and fries, not papas fritas.
Onion rings and fries?
Yeah, both of them.
Like together?
Yeah.
Both of them.
I'll do like a hula hoop thing with the onion ring into my mouth. But
alone in your car, pointed away from people in a neutral parking lot. Hey, is that Brandon hiding alone in his car playing with fries and onion rings?
Why is he playing Hawaiian music? He only goes to Burger King for fries and onion rings, so we just don't get it. By the way, Burger King onion rings are not that big, so it's really hard to hula hoop with them.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, I don't think public napping I'm super comfortable with, like doing like, and in the middle of my workday, I feel like it would just interrupt my like my flow, my momentum.
What's the definition of public napping though for you? I think let's explore that just a little bit.
I guess just like not at home.
Okay.
Or in a place where I would normally be like sleeping.
It's like taking a dump in like anywhere other than your own toilet.
No, I'm totally good with that.
Yeah, me too.
Sam's Club yesterday. I was, yeah.
I'm like, you,
yes, you got, I mean,
you give me a hole to shit in, I'm there.
Is that a hole? Hold on a second.
Brandon, no, this is church. That's the donation bucket.
So yeah, I guess, I don't know, like I will say there have been times where I'm real tired. Usually it'll, okay, here's where I'm calling myself a liar. Ooh, because exceptions. I will like, post church or post outing with the family, and we stop by Target and Sheena has to quote just run in for a couple things, right? And like either the kids were younger or we didn't want to bring everybody in, or it's football season and I would rather listen to the game than walk around Target. I will pull into a parking lot. I have sunglasses on. The AC's flowing. Maybe the football game's on. Maybe I'm scrolling Instagram. And eyelids start to get a little heavy. And I'm like, well, I can just relax here. Sheena's going to come back out at some point. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to like sleep too long. Right. I have sunglasses on so people won't necessarily know I'm sleeping. They'll just think I'm staring intently at the car in front of me. I've dozed before.
I have two thoughts on that, Travis. The first is, I don't know how you can doze before Sheena comes out with more pillows. I don't know. I associate Sheena and Target with pillows. I don't.
Yeah, my whole house is just full of pillows. That's the only thing she buys at Target.
I'm just always associated with that. Just
pillows and Starbucks cups. That's all that it is.
And then the second thing is, I mean, it's easy to discern exactly what the difference is, Travis. The key word is relax. When you're at work during the day, you're in the middle of your work day. You don't have time to relax because you have the pressures of modern life on you. Like, what's going on with Rocco's
modern life?
RECYCLE, recycle. And what you're doing is you're like, oh, I got to do this. I got to write this email. I have to be focused for the rest of the day. I can't let myself go to sleep because if I go to sleep, I'll be groggy. Maybe I sleep too late and then I'm late for a meeting. You know, all these things are going on in your brain. You're not really relaxed in the middle of a workday.
Absolutely.
For me, I'm like, I deal with this shit whether I'm awake or not. So I'm going to go to sleep. And then when I wake up, I'll have to deal with it.
This is fair. I think the relax part is huge because if I am feeling particularly tired or if I had a sort of strenuous day, as soon as I get home, if I sit on that couch, oh, man, the naps can be happening.
Yeah.
The nap. And I will say that to a degree, there's a little bit of guilt still with that because like I get home, family's excited to see me and like they want to do things. And then I'm like, Sheena did send me like a video that says like a good 10 to 20 minute nap or something like that is good for your like heart health or something. Mm-hmm. So she fully endorses my naps now. She's like, go take your heart nap. Go. I want you to stay alive. But I think a good like weekend day, like Sunday afternoon nap is great, but it does affect my sleep schedule. And I'm very like kind of like pragmatic about my sleep schedule as well. And my caffeine intake. So it's like, it's weird. I feel like I am messing that stuff up if I have caffeine too late in the day or if I nap and then I'm like, oh, now I'm not going to fall asleep. That means I'm not going to wake up feeling good tomorrow. My life is ruined.
Now, we've talked about this before, I'm sure, on this show. And among friends, I've talked about it numerous times, which is when I was a kid and when you were a kid, you probably were able to sleep till like 10, 11, 12, 1. Right. Easily.
Oh, yeah. Sleep into the afternoons
as late as you can sleep. And eventually my parents would be like, Brandon, get up. You need to get up now. I'm like, no, I want to keep sleeping more.
And the house is on fire. Get out of your bed.
No, I'm sleeping.
Five more minutes.
Great accent. I love it. You should do that accent more. But now, like, and I always looked at my dad, and my dad would just naturally wake up at like 6, 7, and I'd be like, "How are you waking up so early without an alarm?" He's just like, "I just wake up." Like, I don't know how you do that. I can't wake up at all. He's like, "I just do it." Like that'll never happen to me. Now I wake up at like 5:30, 6 every morning, and then I wake up, I go pee, maybe I poop in a hole somewhere and I'm like,
yeah, all right, well, whatever Sam's Club you can find.
I'll drink some coffee and I'll take a nap. Then I'll go back to sleep for like another hour and then I'll wake up and I'm like, all right, time to go to work. But even on the weekends, I'm like 7:30. Guess I'm awake now. All right.
The funny thing about summer break specifically, and I think especially when I was younger, enjoy being a night person. Mm-hmm. I like staying up late. I like doing things late into the evening and into the early morning sometimes. My wife is very much that way too. But as the responsible adult that has to go to work,
damn it,
I can't always do that, right? Like I have to get up. I have to get up early. Mm-hmm. I have a pretty decent commute. I got to get to work. I got to be ready to get my work done. But everybody else in my house is on summer break. So they can stay up pretty much as late as they want, sleep in as late as they want. And so like as the summer progresses, the delta between our sleep schedules just increases to the point where like now in July, like I'm hitting my alarm clock. And I'm like, are you just coming to bed? Like what is happening? That might be a slight exaggeration.
Slight, but by like 5-10 minutes.
Slight. But yeah, like I think that's why like on the weekends when I am home and I am off, and I'm used to getting up at, you know, like 6 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. I can still sleep in on the weekends and be in bed till 8. That's hours later that I, and
for a second I was like, holy like, shit, you sleep in? And then you said,
I mean, sometimes 9:30 if I'm really, you know, really
whoa.
Pushing it.
Whoa,
I know.
Whoa.
I know.
Lazy.
But even then, like Saturday mornings, if I get up at 8 or any earlier than that, it's like I have the whole house to myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's asleep. I get a full load of usually 2 loads of laundry done Saturday morning. I catch up on whatever TV shows I watch on my own. So like I was watching Acolyte. Uh-huh. I got laundry done, other chores. I got so much done that morning before anybody else had even gotten out of bed.
We talked about this not more than maybe like 2 months ago or so, where it's like the transition from staying up as late as you can because that's when you get your alone time to waking up as early as you normally do because that's when you get your alone time.
But there's like that other part of it too, where it's like, there's still a part of me that wants to, like going back to our last, you know, topic, like that, you know, dating your spouse and things like that. Like if my wife's staying up late, like I want to stay up later with her and, you know, watch the show or, you know, whatever. And then like, it's 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning. And they're doing the, hey, one more episode. And you're like, I will literally die if you hit next episode. I will cease to be.
I am not going to stay awake through this movie or this show.
Yeah. And then you get up at, you know, 5 a.m. and you're like, well, time to start the day. Here we go.
And that's why I take naps, because then I'm like, I stayed up watching Werewolves Within again last night. I'm gonna take a nap in the middle of the day between the meetings, which already drain me.
I mean, naps are they're good for your heart. Take your naps. I don't know. Call to action, listener. Do you take naps? Are you a napper? What's your best napping strategies?
The last thing I want to say about napping is there, yeah, I was going to say culturally, but just like how you're raised also, I think helps define how you feel about naps. So like Chelsea, right? Like Chelsea feels really bad when she takes naps. She's like, if I'm taking a nap, that means that I'm lazy and I'm not doing anything, which makes me want to lay in bed longer, but then also makes me feel bad longer that I'm wanting to nap. And you know, it's that goes to her upbringing. It goes to her
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
How that was viewed.
Socially acceptable norms from her childhood.
Yeah. And for me, I think like naps in my family were always like, yeah, you could take a nap, but this is also like after you've been productive, for half the morning. So a lot of times
it's more transactional. Like you have earned the nap because of the things that you've done.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Yesterday, going a little side story. In my backyard, I had two planters, two big planters full of dirt. I didn't want one of the planters to be full of dirt because I have an avocado tree because I'm in California. And the avocado tree is trying to expand, but that planter was in the way. So I got to get rid of the planter. Oh, so what am I going to do with all this dirt? So I went to Lowe's. I bought
put a little dirt under your pillow for the dirt, man.
Oh, we can talk about that in a minute. I bought a wheelbarrow. And I'm like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to transfer all this dirt from one planter to my back wall where I've got like trees I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this. So I bought that stuff on Friday or Saturday. Sunday morning, I wake up. It's like 8:30. I'm like, here I go. Oh,
sleeping in. Look at you.
Yeah. Well, no, I was up playing Mad Max for about an hour and a half before that.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm going to play this game. I got to beat it. And then I'm going to go do this work. So I got up, put my pants on, right? It's already hot as hell out here. I start shoveling dirt, wheelbarrow, getting over there, do a whole lot. And I knock it out. Okay. Going to go take a nap now. 10:30. I'm taking a nap. Like that is to me, that's like I did something. I'm okay with taking a nap.
I feel like the pre-noon nap is a flex unto itself. Like you're like, I have done so much work already before noon that I'm exhausted. I haven't even gotten halfway through this day, and I'm gonna take a nap. That's something.
Yeah.
I'm still on my coffee at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, tell us about good your naps. Stuff. Call to action.
Yeah. Let us know about your naps. Talk to us on Instagram. Hit us up. Let us know about your naps on Instagram. Brandon, you are spending a little bit more time this last week over on Instagram. For those of you that are new to the show and don't know how me and Brandon communicate when we're not podcasting, we mostly talk to each other via Facebook Instant Messenger. And at some point earlier this week, you were in your podcast room with the racist hue lights and you were doing some drum practice.
Uh-huh.
And you... you start sending me random videos just inside the app. You're just sending me. Now, listen, it's a well-established fact on this podcast that I am not Brandon's best friend. Okay. His best friend. It's his best friend's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Matt.
But so I don't know if these are recorded for me or if they were recorded for another friend and he's just sending them to, you know, make the most out of these videos. But I like to think they're for me. And then I open up Instagram and you've reposted one of them to your reels on Instagram. But you were talking about how you were working on like video content for Instagram and trying to get good at it. What is your definition of getting good? What are you trying to develop in your Instagram video personal journey of enlightenment?
You know, like the thing about Instagram video is it changes up all the time. They add new little things. It's same thing with like any new iOS where you're like, what is going on with this one? Why are there so many nested buttons for Wi-Fi and Bluetooth? Why are you hiding all of this stuff? This is frustrating. You know, anyway, that's an aside. But
old man complains about UI development in this apathetic enthusiast.
But OK, real quick. You know, UX, UI, like. The point isn't to make it more difficult. The point is to make it more accessible.
It's true. It's true. Not arguing.
Okay. All right.
No arguments from me.
All right. Anyways, arguments
looking
from
you meta
Apple developers. Okay. So what I'm going on Instagram, I'm like, okay, what is new? And you know, I've done stuff here and there, and like finding out the nuances of like swipe this way to do this. Oh, you can layer some audio. Oh, you can layer some video. Well, if you want to layer some video, if you want like your own video, like a Comic-Con video, right? When we went to Comic-Con last year, we took all this video and then you uploaded it to your computer and then you edited it and then you put music to it and then you reposted it. Well, I was like, people do this on Instagram natively all the time. How do they do that? Right. So that was one of those things I was like trying to figure out and trying to explore a little bit to be like, here's all these montages, now have some music underscoring it. And then maybe put a GIF here, maybe put some text here and there. Right. So the video I put out there with when I was actually trying out that was like a cover of this Albert Hammond song. It Never Rains in Southern California. And it was a very crappy version of like a video editing, right? I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah. You're like layering GIFs over.
Yeah. I was just like,
over you singing.
I was just like, all right, toss this in there. I don't care. But I just wanted to see how that worked. Because Comic-Con is coming up and I want to be able to do live or not live, but like more instant videos like that.
Maybe live.
Sure. Yeah. But
definitely we need to be more engaged with our stories. We're definitely going to be having more reels that we're going to throw out. I don't want. And again, 2024, it's half over. It's as of this recording, it is July 1st. Half the year hath gone by. How are your New Year's resolutions holding up? Let us know in the comments.
What were they? Do you remember what they were?
Yeah, I'm still playing Connections every day. And I have a note in my Apple Notes with my results from Connections every day.
What was my resolution?
Look at the episode to find out. But yeah, so this is sort of like a mid-year resolution for me. Is I've been thinking more and more about our video content and specifically getting elements from these episodes onto our social media, right? So whether it's like the AI versions that like kind of do a lot of the heavy lifting for us, or whether it's like really curating and trying to like go back and listen to these conversations. Cause I'm going to be honest, like when we are recording these episodes, it's probably very apparent to the listener. Like I'm not like writing stuff down. I'm not taking notes about the conversations we're having. And so I'm not after like we finish recording, I'm not like, oh, there was that great moment 23 minutes in where we laughed a lot about the conversation we had. I should go back and take that and make a 30-second video that we can post on our Instagram, right?
Yeah.
So what I did is I started going back and listening to a previous episode, which I sometimes do for quality control, but actually having a note open and being like, oh, this was a funny moment, or this was something fun that we did. Make a note and then go back and take those videos and like actually cut it up into a small clip that we could then post on our socials. Yeah. The reality is that takes time.
It does,
that
yeah.
takes a lot of time to do that editing. And as we mentioned earlier, families and jobs and things like that. So I know that that's something that we can do to help grow the show and create additional engagement with our podcast and stuff like that. So it's something that like I've been thinking a lot about too. And what I don't want to have happen is you open up our Instagram and the only thing that you see is like the crappy Photoshopped pictures that I make after we record with Brandon counting how many times we've released an episode since 250. It won't stop
until we get to 300.
And then the only other thing on there are like reels from last year's Comic-Con. Like, I feel like we should we should engage with it some more. So I'm interested in some ideas. Maybe this isn't turned into an unofficial meeting between the two of us, but we'll come up with some more ideas. Yeah. We'll bash our heads together. And come up with some stuff.
So for me, when it comes to the Rick and Morty interdimensional RSS, like that, doing all the video stuff makes sense to me, makes more sense for growth there because we're kind of promoting the show. Like we have something specifically what we're talking about. And then like that draws people to that show. For this one, look, we love all of you, but we also know that this is
both of you.
We also know we earned $5 from you from Red Circle this last quarter. So thank you.
I saw that. I saw those emails are already opened when I went to go look at my email.
Yeah. But we, you know, like this show is way more conversational. And to be honest with you, it's the same thing with like with music for me. Like I know how to play guitar. I know I'm decent at being a musician. I'm okay at singing, but it still like makes me, you know, like I have a little bit of like, you know, it's still a little bit sensitive, right? It's a little,
yeah.
You know, like I'm not totally secure there. Sure. So for Rick and Morty stuff, I'm more secure than I am about what we do here because this is more of who you and I actually are. This is you and I talking, yeah. Right? This isn't, we're not talking about something external. We're talking about what our opinions are, whatever our lives are going on.
I think the interesting thing about it is this podcast in format is not wildly different from some of the most popular podcasts on the internet. The difference is we're not famous people. That's a big barrier. And people don't know who we are. So like there is a little bit of crossover from like people that discover us via interdimensional RSS or submitted for your approval. And they're like, oh, I like listening to these guys talk about topic that I enjoy.
Yeah.
They make other podcasts. And there is a small subset of people that have moved over to this podcast and started listening to parts of it. Some episodes they may still listen, they may not, just because they like our conversations and our rapport, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think video clips is just a way to put that out on our social media and give people a sample of what this is so that they can be like, oh, that was funny. That was a funny moment. Maybe I should check them out, right?
Yeah.
And if they ever do, great. If they don't, whatever. That's it's fine.
And I think for IRSS, what those types of things do is be like, hey, we're talking about Rick and Morty in the context of the show, being like, oh, we're talking about something Rick and Morty related, but this is also who we are, right?
Yeah.
Where that focus is not necessarily for apathetic enthusiasm. And I'm like, maybe it's because we have gotten so far with this, just like being ourselves, and like we haven't been worried about growth with AE as much, to where I'm like, we don't need to seek out or spend a lot of that extra time taking those notes and be like, okay, at 20 minutes 20 seconds, Brandon said something stupid, Travis said something funny, and then we all laughed about it. We don't have to do that as much for AE because we're good with where we are. And if people listen, hey, we'd love you. Yeah. And if you don't,
both of you,
well, you're not listening. So fuck off, you know? Wait, no. They're not listening.
No, please come back.
No, they're not listening. They can't hear it, you know?
No.
Yeah, fuck cool. You. Fuck you. I'm just kidding.
If you're going to have to put in
unless they jumped in at that moment where I said fuck you, Like,
this is, see, I need to write these, this timestamp down so I can edit this and make a reel out of it.
This used to be safe for work podcast, but not anymore.
Yeah, I still think you mark it as such, but it's usually not.
Look, cussing is natural. Kids do it all the time nowadays.
Skibbity toilet.
Ew. No, don't do it.
Yeah, Sam's Club. All right. We're going to rapid fire a few more topics before we get out of here. All right. One thing I just realized before we started recording is that I didn't realize this. I realized the Summer Olympics are starting very soon, right? Every 4 years, Olympics come back around. I enjoy the Olympics. I really like watching the Summer Olympics. There's a lot of events that I enjoy watching, and I think it's because of the like uniqueness of it and the like fact that it's not always like that 4 year gap is enough for me to be like, oh, hey, let me watch a decathlon. And I don't typically watch that, even though it's happening all the time. Yeah. But when it's the Olympics, it's like, oh, hey, cool. It's something new.
And that's why you watch the World Cup every 4 years.
No, I don't.
You son of a bitch.
I realized I'm probably going to miss a fair amount of this year's Olympic coverage.
Why?
Because we're going to be at San Diego Comic Con.
What? No, I have a headset, an Olympic themed headset that just it's tuned to it all the entire time.
We'll just be sitting there in a Hall H watching. Trampoline axe.
Yeah, no, it's a device that you can get out. It's everywhere. You can buy it everywhere now. It's a device with all the events like on a little knob, right? And okay. So you turn
a big knob.
Yeah,
a lot of knobs.
No, yeah. No, well, I mean, there's sub knobs, right? There's like the main knob, which like okay, like running. You know,
sure. As soon as you said sub knobs, I got it. Like you get track and field events, and then you can like click the sub knob for like
right. Yeah. And so then like you know you turn to a channel. You're like, I wanna hear what's going on with the pole vaulting, right? And so like you twist a knob in the sub knob, and then it starts playing that. Well, when there's no event on, you're like, well, what's going on when there's no event? Well, they play some classical music, right? So they play like some Brahms, Beethoven, right? And then they also like play some more like music from all the different the countries that are participating in the event, right? So like they got some Guamian music, you know, it's pretty cool. Check it out on amazon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And if you don't find
use our affiliate code.
Just buy something. Give us the money.
Yeah. So anyway, Olympics are happening
what
in Paris.
What time is this? Do the timestamp.
Do the timestamp. That one's definitely becoming a video. So they start Friday, July 26th, which is smack dab.
That's the weekend of Comic-Con, dude.
It is. So it's also the weekend that Deadpool and Wolverine come out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So are we going to see it down in San Diego?
I don't know. Depends on the weekend. It depends on what's happening. But it goes for like 2 weeks. So it runs through August 11th. So there will be like a week after Comic-Con and Disneyland where I can watch some Olympic games. So that's fine. What else?
Rapid firing.
Ice cream flavors. Favorite ice cream flavor. Go.
Rainbow sherbet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of my newest favorite ice cream flavors is from a company called Bluebell Ice Cream. They are common in the South and Texas, a place like that. They are making an A&W root beer float flavored ice cream. It is a blend of like root beer, like sorbet with like vanilla ice cream. It is the closest thing to actually eating a root beer float, Brandon, just like straight out of the thing. Your face is freaking me out.
I don't believe it.
I'll bring some in my luggage for you to try. I'm sure it'll keep nicely in the cargo compartment of the aircraft.
Is it that good?
If you like a root beer float, it tastes exactly like a root beer float.
I do.
Yeah, it's good. What is not good is their I Heart cereal flavor.
Is it?
I have had numerous ice creams that attempt to use like capture like the cereal milk base. There's a local ice cream store here in Oklahoma that does a cereal flavored ice cream where they use like cereal milk. Like they flavor the cream with a breakfast cereal, and they put little pieces of cereal in it as well. I don't know who signed off on Bluebell's I Heart cereal, but it's gross. It's just bad. It's not good. Okay. So that's my top and bottom ice cream flavors for right now.
Okay.
Broad executive immunity. We have time for that.
Sure. Yeah. Look, as long as it's an official act, you're good to go.
Official acts only. The only other thing I have left is a Lorcana tournament recap.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've got one thing after that. I'll figure out what that is, after you. Certainly.
Okay. All right. So, Lorcana news. My son and I played in a local tournament hosted by one of our local game stores. They called it a back to basics tournament. These are also known as a popper tournament or a Porcana tournament. This is where there is an additional restriction on your deck that you build where you can only use the lowest valued cards. So your common and uncommon rarity cards. You can't use any rares, super rares, legendaries, or anything like that in your deck. So it kind of levels the playing field for a lot of people because it forces you to not use the high cost, high value cards. You use the cards that most people can find most easily, and creates an additional like challenge to building your deck. So I came up with a kind of a design for my deck. I played it for a couple weeks with my son, and I was just beating my son over and over and over again.
Wow. Just growing.
He came up with like three or four different color combinations. He was experimenting with a lot of stuff, and I won a lot of games against him. To the point where a day or two before the tournament, he said, "You know what, Dad? I think I'm just going to copy your deck design. I'm going to use the same colors, use a lot of the same cards. I have most of the same cards. I'll just kind of do that and see how that goes." I thought, yeah, I mean, it's a good idea. It's good. I mean, I'm pretty happy with how mine's working. So we get to the tournament. Tournament is on Saturday. Starts at 6 p.m. There are 9 people total that signed up for this tournament. So not very big. But because it's an odd number, somebody has to have a first round bye. It's the tournament is 3 rounds of Swiss. That means you, as you play the different rounds, you match up with people as you go based on common record, right? Okay. So
it's not a cheese thing.
It's not a cheese thing. I thought it was a cheese thing. It is in fact not. So my son actually had the bye for the first round, which meant he automatically gets like a 2-win round. Basically, it's the same as if he won 2 out of 3 games in that first round, right? So I play my match. I play against the person I matched up against, and I beat them 2 straight games. So I have a 2-0 record as well, which means in the second round, my son and I have the exact same record, and we get matched to play each other.
Oh, damn. And here it is. And you've been beating him consistently up to this point.
David and Goliath, the mirror match. Amethyst steel versus amethyst steel. Those are the ink colors for our decks.
Okay.
Is it
a Mad Max thing?
No.
Because I've been playing that game.
In my head, I'm like, it's just like sitting across him, across the kitchen table. I've been beating him for weeks. Like, my son is a good player, but you know, we'll see how this goes. Play the first round, first hand. And I end up winning. It is pretty close, but I end up winning. Second round, going back and forth. I'm not getting a lot of the cards I want to draw. It's back and forth. He's clearing all my characters. He wins the second round. Third round, or third game, best of three, back and forth again. It gets to be about 15 points. You played at 20 points. I've got like 14, 15 points. He's got 14, 15 points. And then he like wipes out all my characters. And I'm like, he's going to beat me. He's going to beat me in this game. And sure enough, a couple turns later, he wins. I was so proud of him while at the same time being like, son of a gun. Like he copied my deck and then beat me with it. So he moves on to the top table. He's playing against the people with the best record. I essentially move down, play my last round, manage to win those games as well. So I take fourth overall in the tournament. He lost his last rounds and ended up in third. So he got like three packs he won. I won a pin. The pin that I've been fiddling with on my desk the whole time that we've been recording. But then he pulled an enchanted card out of his three packs. So it was all around a great night. Super proud of him for like holding his own and playing his game. It's awesome. So 2 weeks, store championships. Ursula's. We're gonna be back. We're gonna be back for that.
What's cool to me, Travis, is, you know, because you were telling me about this last week about this poor Kana and all these yeah. decks, and you had talked about beating your son just mercilessly, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I was like, you know, like what is he not picking up? Like, what strategies is it? Like, if he's playing the same deck and he's still losing, like, what is the difference with what he's doing versus what you're doing? And you know, he's young still, but some of those strategy pieces, the things that you and I are good at games, right? Like sometimes we don't have to think about the games, we innately pick things up. And we're like,
well, and I think we've spent a lot of time playing different versions of strategy games that I think the decision tree in our head for what decision to make and the strategic implications of that decision just processes a lot faster for us.
Yeah.
Because we realize sort of a lot of the outs or a lot of the conditions that come from a specific decision.
Right. And you know, we're old. And your son is yes. picking this stuff up, and he's like, he's starting to process this. He's starting to put these strategy pieces together. So what's really cool to me, what's interesting to me, is that he beat you because he's starting to pick up on some of those things. He's like, oh, okay, all right. Even if you don't like know exactly what it is that you're doing that is succeeding, you know that that's like doing something versus this is going to make me succeed.
Yeah.
Even if you don't necessarily fully understand why.
Yeah. Which is awesome that he's getting so good and understanding that. We are now at the point where we have put aside poor Kana decks and we have picked up our best constructed competitive decks for this tournament that's in 2 weeks. And he has selected ink colors for his deck. They're green and steel. And some of the highest value cards in both of our collections are in this deck. He's borrowed a ton of cards from me. He has taken a bunch of stuff and built the deck that the highest level players are building right now with some minor adjustments. But we haven't really played that deck a lot because we were getting ready for this other tournament and things like that. Well, the tournament was over. We decided to play a few games, and he is just annihilating me with this new deck that we've built, which on the one hand is frustrating.
Sure. Yeah.
Because you're getting beat over and over again. I understand how he feels. But at the same time, it's like, yes, here is like in-house high-level competition with like a strongly constructed deck, somebody that is playing it well, and it is giving me an opportunity to then look at my game and look at my cards and say, what adjustments do I have to make? What are things that I have to change so that I can consistently, because when I go and play this tournament in 2 weeks, there's going to be a lot of decks that are built exactly like his, yeah. if not worse.
Yeah,
right. So that for me is really cool to have him like training me while I train him on that stuff and kind of work on that. So,
as far as like gameplay goes, right. And skill base, you and I both are this way where we get decent at our level, right? Without like without any help, like let's say without any help, but like we learn and we plateau at a level, like which is higher than the average of most people without like competitive things, right?
But never at the top.
Never at the top. I look at like PUBG, right? Like never at the top, but we get to where we're like, okay, yeah, we're pretty good. We're better than average. So sometimes it takes like somebody who is like gets a little bit better than us to be like, okay, thank you. Now that gives me motivation to do that much better because I'm good where I'm at. But I can't let you beat me all the time.
Well, and there is like a false sense of like confidence where like if you only ever play your kids at Mario Kart, right?
Yeah.
And they're young and you're like, I win every game I play at Mario Kart. I am good at Mario Kart. And then you go to like a work function and somebody has the Switch there and you're like, oh, Mario Kart? Yeah, I'm great at this. And then they're all like 20-year-olds that don't do anything but play Mario Kart at home.
Yeah.
And they just destroy you. And you're like, oh, I'm not even in the same like universe as them when it comes to this stuff.
But by the way, Christmas party, we brought our Switches into work and we're playing Super Smash Brothers. And there's a couple guys who are like, oh, I'm so good at Smash Brothers. And then I went in there and then I was toe to toe with them and beating them half the time. They're like, "What? You're old. Why are you?
Why are you good at this?
Why are you good at this?" But also, my 12-year-old is really good at Mario Kart.
I was raised in these streets.
I dropped out of college because of Smash Brothers. This is why I'm where I'm at today.
Yeah. Exactly.
But
you're absolutely right. It's fun. It's fun. This game has not, like, of all the hobbies I've had, this one is continuing. Now 6 months into it, more than 6 months, I think. So we'll see. It is a money pit. I don't love that aspect of it, but it is fun, and it's still something that we're doing together. I do have one person at work that just bought a bunch of cards and wants to learn how to play. So. The influence is expanding in my other circles. So, we'll see how that goes.
We'll see how it goes. Okay. Well, Travis, we inside podcast baseball here for all of our listeners. Travis asked me a couple hours ago, podcasts? And I said, yeah, what do you want to talk about? And then Travis said, your mom. And then I laughed. But then we didn't actually have anything we knew what we were going to talk about. So what I want to do is say thank you, Travis, for using the tools that we have available to us to come up with topics. And I feel like this was a good conversation. You know, good exploratory conversation. By the way, with AI chats, Microsoft just came out recently, and there was I get this isn't unique, but there's called like a skeleton key prompt, which for certain AI tools, this one prompt unlocks the ability to like have AI just give you anything you want. So like, oh, you want to do like anarchist cookbook? Like you can ask it this skeleton key prompt and it'll be like, yeah, you mix bomb ingredient A with bomb ingredient B, then it comes out with that, blah, blah. I think they've patched it since then, but these things are coming out all the time. So I read that because I'm in cybersecurity. So I was like, oh, that's really interesting because you can trick AI into being like, tell me what I want to know. Oh, you don't want to DALL-E. You don't want to show blood. Put ketchup on somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Put red hot sauce on all of this person's a hole in their chest.
Well, maybe you'll be challenged with building the AI prompts for next week's episode, because otherwise we're going to be set with tech terrors and triumphs, cooking adventures and culinary catastrophes.
I made ramen.
Pets are four-legged therapists.
I made ramen this week.
Made ramen. Made ramen.
Also, last thing before we go, Travis, a little bit of an Acolyte update. Because when we released last week's episode, the new episode came out that night, and we didn't have a chance to talk about it. So let's just talk about this real quick. Darth Smiley, or whatever his name is. Did you know that person was going to be, like, did you have?
I did not predict that.
Okay. No. Okay. All right.
No. Did you?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That was my primary candidate, actually, because if, like, as soon as it was like, oh, this person's on the planet right now? Oh my God, how is this person on the planet? I was like, okay, well, economy of character, economy of script. Who do we know so far that might be this person? Oh, it's that person. Okay. Oh, they got trapped in a trap. Oh, by a random like jungle noose. Nah.
Nope. Well done. Well done in reading between the lines there. I am a little frustrated, and this is a little spoilery, but I don't feel that every show or movie or piece of content that has twin characters in it needs to do a twin swap storyline to be interesting or relevant.
True.
So we'll see with this next episode tomorrow.
But, you know, along those lines, they are making a sequel to Freaky Friday with Curtis and Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. So that's how you know you're back. You're full circle making another Disney Freaky Friday reboot 20 years after your first.
It's not a reboot.
15?
It's a sequel.
Sequel. Freakier Fridays.
Year. I don't know. F2F. Freaky right, to Friday.
All right, everybody, that's our show. Thanks for listening.
I'm Brandon.
If you wanted to.
That's Travis.
I'm Travis.
Look, if you want, by the way, Comic-Con's this month, so please look up the schedule when it comes out and tell us what you want us to cover, because we will cover it, and we'll put it on Instagram.
Unless the line's too long or we get bored.
We might do live streaming from Disneyland, because we're going to go there together. That's going to be fun.
Hey. That's a new development. All right, we'll try that. Did you 3D print a microphone holder yet? Come back next week. Bye, everybody. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.